It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the Bible, we're presently in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3. Now, last time we talked about the great high priest, and I'd like to pick up there in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, "In whom we have boldness," that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him," by the faith of Jesus Christ. And once again, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, these verses say this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, there's many things that come into our lives as human beings, as men and women. There's many things that come into our lives, and not only for the unsaved people do they have trouble, but we as saved people, we also have problems. And as we think of these problems, sometimes they really are seemingly more than we can bear. Well, there's one who can bear those burdens with us. There is one who can do the things that we cannot do. He's there with God right now, God the Father. And of course, the one I'm speaking of is Jesus Christ. He's there. He is our great high priest. And when we have a need, we need to go to him in prayer. And we need to talk to him. And let him know our heart's desire. Let him know that we know who he is, that he is our Savior, and that he is God. And he is the one who is going to take our prayer requests and our praises to God the Father. Jesus Christ, our advocate in heaven. He is the one who can help when no one on this earth can help us. He is the one that we can depend upon to help us in time of need. Well, that verse in verse 12 talks about access. Well, how do we have access? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we both," that's Jew and Gentile, "have access by one Spirit unto the Father." It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God the Father, the one who sent his Son to this world to give his life for this world, for the people of this world. And I say that all that mankind has to do is to depend upon the Lord, to call upon him to save them, to come into the heart, to repent, which means that you're not going to go your way. You've decided to go God's way. And your way without Jesus Christ is a one-way ticket to hell. But with Jesus Christ, everything has been paid for. We're going to have all of the things that we need. Actually, we have those things now. The Bible says that it's just as good as settled right now. We're seated with him in heavenly places right now in the sight of God. We need to go to the Lord in prayer and talk things over with him and let him know when we have a need. Oh, don't think that you're going to bother him, because he is our Savior. He is our advocate, and we need to go to him. He's never too busy to listen to us. And might I say that God speaks to us through that still small voice. And as we get into his word, he speaks to us with that still small voice, and he relates things to us. He unfolds the word of God to us when we go to him. And we say, "Lord, I want to know more and more about you." You see, the Bible teaches us that once we're saved, that we've been predestinated not to be saved, but because we are saved, we've been predestinated to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. We need to get into the Word so that we can grow thereby and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we look now in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you." which is your glory. Faint not. I believe he's telling the people here, Paul the Apostle is speaking to the church. He says, don't give up. Don't give up because of what I go through. Paul says, what I do is for you. Don't quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. I believe he's speaking for those other apostles, for those people, other people who are working to not only bring the Word of God to this world and help people get saved, but bringing the Word and words of consolation to the church, not only to the church back then at Ephesus, but he's bringing that through the power of the Holy Spirit to us through the Word. The Word of God is God-breathed. That's the reason we call it the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, quickening, going to the very marrow. In other words, it reaches to the uttermost of our soul. And it helps us to grow in his grace and knowledge as the children of God. Now, I remind you that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you can learn from the Word of God, you can look at it and you can get a historical setting there. You can read history. You can see the history. And you can also see how that you can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and how that you can go to heaven. But unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Scriptures cannot be open to you. There's so many things there that you cannot know that God really wants to share those things with you. As an unsaved person, you can know those things by getting saved, by knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's so much in the Christian life that we overlook a lot of it. One of the greatest things that we have is to be, and I think of this, one of the greatest things is knowing that we're on our way to heaven and then to get into the Word of God and let God speak to us through his Word. Do you realize that's God speaking to us? Oh, human beings that deserve hell. And he says, I've saved you. That is for those of you who have trusted him. I've saved you. And I want to speak to your heart through my Word. Well, God's good to us. And Paul the Apostle, through the power of the Holy Spirit, says, don't give up. No matter what you're going through, don't give up. And especially, you know, sometimes we see that what I would call God's heroes. God's heroes, those men and women who are serving him and giving them all their all. And then we see them possibly getting sick. We see some of them going through a difficult time, through tribulation in their life. And that causes us sometimes to lose heart. But Paul the Apostle says in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 3, faint not, don't give up. Keep on going on. Now we look at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the words, for this cause. Well, what cause is it? Well, we look here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul the Apostle was a Jew. He shared the Word of God not only with the Jews, but he shared the Word of God with Gentiles, those people to whom the Jews at that time looked down upon. The Jews didn't think that the Gentiles were worth saving. But Paul the Apostle said, hey, wait a minute. God is willing to save anyone who will call upon his name. And I've said this so many times, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, for we are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul says in verse 13, for this cause, verse 1 tells us the cause. Paul says, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, Gentiles. And I wonder today, as a saved person, are you a prisoner for the Lord, for Jesus Christ? In other words, Christ constrains us, a saved people, to give out the Word of God. Are you constrained today in your soul to help other people know Jesus Christ? Are you constrained in your soul to help other Christians grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you constrained in your soul to help that person who is in need today? They need a touch of the Savior, but you can help them as a human being with the touch of a gentle hand and saying, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I'm letting you know that God is on your side. Well, Paul says he was a prisoner for the Gentiles. He felt a deep obligation first to the Lord and then a deep obligation to speak about the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, notice there in verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees. Well, Romans 14, verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. Well, confess what? Confess to God. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 14 goes on to say, so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And I see that for the saved in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, when a saved person leaves this life, when Jesus comes back and he says, come up hither, we go to be with the Lord either way once we're saved. If the breath leaves my body right now, I'll go to be with the Lord. If the Lord comes back in the clouds right now and says, come up hither, I'll be with the Lord. But there's something called the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, you won't be judged there for your works as such to get saved, but you will be judged according to your works for rewards. The things that we do for the Lord here, they're not in vain. First of all, they're not in vain when we tell other people about Jesus Christ. Our works are not in vain when we're serving God, when we're telling this lost and dying world about His Son. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to this world to give His life for mankind, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. But that Christian who stands at the judgment seat of Christ is not standing there to see if they're saved or lost. They're standing there because they are saved. And they're there to receive the things done that they've done in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have a lot in this life. You may be poor. You may be in need today. But as a Christian, one day you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you will receive those things that's done in your body for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll receive crowns. You'll receive a reward. The Bible says once we get there and we've done everything we can to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For the saved person, that saved person will stand, will be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things that they've done in this life, whether good or bad. Do you know Him today as your Savior?